Hello and welcome to episode 12 of Diary of a Common Man. My name is Salim Lalani and thank you so much for joining me once again. This week I'm pleased to announce that we have two more volunteers, one a research analyst who would like to remain anonymous, so thank you so much, and an investigative reporter. Thank you, Alfie. Apart from that, we need a legal professional and we also need a detective. Now, to be a detective volunteer, you don't need to be a professional, you need to be an insider. It's not as if I'm not getting information from the insiders at the moment. It's just that I need someone to commit to doing the voluntary work on a regular basis. And goes without saying, your anonymity will be guaranteed. I've received hundreds of emails and phone numbers. Thank you so very much. If you haven't already sent, please do so if you are interested in watching my videos in case. I've received many requests from Muslims from across the world for an Urdu version of this YouTube series. They feel that many Muslims don't understand English and are missing out on what is going on in the name of Islam. And I appreciate that concern, but there are a couple of issues that I must consider and I will need your advice in those matters. Firstly, the time factor. I have already sacrificed 6 years of my time researching and producing this series. And remember, I'm only a one-man army who works full-time. Now, this 6 years of research has taken its toll. It has had a tremendous impact on my time, on my finances, and on my relationships. Now, without doing a YouTube series, the work that I'm doing at the moment is already beginning to demand a lot of my time. Urdu version will mean twice the work, if not more. Now, if I was to take on more responsibilities, I will have to quit my job and work full time on this campaign. Question is, who is going to put the food on my table? That is one issue. Apart from the issue of putting food on my table, I feel releasing an Urdu version will potentially mean undesirable consequences for Aga Khani followers, particularly in Muslim countries. We know some of our Muslim brothers who are really, really, really good at heart, but a little bit emotional. These consequences may happen, they may not happen, but it is critical that I analyze this situation and seek your advice before pulling the trigger. Although I have my thoughts on this issue, I will appreciate your thoughts. By the way, I have advised Aga Khan that this is a likelihood. Let's now return to our weekly episode. Last week, we entered the Aga Khani Jamaat Khana and we learned about a few secretive majalises. Since then, I have received further information from insiders about the existence of two more secretive majalises. One is called My Daughter and the other happens at Aiglemont, Aga Khan's headquarters in France. Now, I am not 100% sure of the credibility of this information, given Aga Khan is in the process of moving from France to Portugal. But if any of my viewers know anything about this, please let us know. Now, last week we discussed the secretive majalises, the elite majalises where you have to pay a lot of money. This week we will discuss majalises which are designed for people who neither have a lot of money and nor a lot of prestige. So for them, they can get away with an entry fee of, believe it or not, as little as $50. That's it. It's another matter that they will pay at every step once they enter. These majalises are, first one is Panch Bar Sal. This is a mini version of life dedication majalis, where instead of serving the imam for the rest of your life, you get enough blessings worth about maximum 12 years of your service. Panjay Behnu Midlas, this is ladies only majalis. Baitul Khyal, we spoke about this majalis last week and I need to offer my apologies. I got two things wrong. Firstly, I thought it was free, but a viewer has advised that it does cost $75 to enter. Also, the meaning of Beth is house. So Beth is house, Khayal means thought, so Baitul Khayal is house of thought. This majalis happens every morning at 3:45 a.m. Goes without saying, not very popular, but to make it popular, an evening version is also available for your convenience. Now, believe it or not, the mercy of the Imam has made available majalises that are absolutely free. Don't believe it? It is true. Yes. You will not pay a cent. Guaranteed, you will not pay anything, zero, zilch, but hang on. Do not pop that champagne just as yet. Yes, there is no fees to enter, but it is these very majalises where you will pay to the Imam in big chunks. How much money, under how many pretexts, we will discuss in detail in later episodes. Now let's get inside these free majalises. First one is Chandraj Majalis. Chandraj Majalis was actually established by or created by Aga Khan III, the Sultan Muhammad Shah, and it is promoted as a must attend majalis. It is no wonder even believers who hardly go to Jamaat Khana make a special effort to attend. People arrive with 12.5% of their entire month's income in their pockets to be offloaded on this day. By the way, majlis was established for spiritual upliftment. Salgira Majlis is held to celebrate Aga Khan's birthday on 13th December every year. Nowroz, we have learned earlier that Aga Khan belongs to the Persian ancestry, and in Persia, Nowroz is a new year. It is no wonder that it is celebrated on 21st March every year. Imamat Day. This majalis is to celebrate the anniversary of current Aga Khan becoming the 49th Imam on 11th of July 1957. Now these majalises, these three, Salgira, Nowroz and Imamat Day, are very, very special to Aga Khanis, and they are celebrated with great fervour, complete with dinner, entertainment, fashion and glitter. Without saying, they attract the largest crowd of all congregations in the year. Oh yes, I forgot. Even Islamic festivals are celebrated. They are free, these majalises. They do congregate on two Eids and offer a namaz in the morning. And apart from these other occasions such as Eid al-Ghadir, Shab-e-Mi'raj, Miladun-Nabi, etc. are also celebrated in the Jamaat Khana, but for some reason the attendance in these Islamic festivals is a fraction of that on the Imamat day. Mushkil Asan Satado. Satado means 7 days, Mushkil means difficulty, Asan means the resolution. So what Mushkil Asan Satado means is for 7 days you come for prayers, intense prayers, which will basically dissolve all your difficulties in your life. Aga Khanis believe when congregation prays in a union during a Satado, the Lord Aga Khan has no choice but to listen and resolve or dissolve all your difficulties. Satado is a power pack. These prayers to Aga Khan are powerful enough to make your difficulties disappear quicker than all the prayers put together during everyday Jamaat Khana and everyday majalises. It is little wonder that Jamaat Khana is packed during Satado. In particular, Jamaat Khana is packed by believers who are regularly irregular. They say, why attend everyday Jamaat Khana when you can go once in a while, clear all the chances of disasters happening to you, and then come back next year for another round. As I said earlier, Satado is a power pack. It is only to be established in the event of extreme calamity. For example, a war, a natural disaster, or relief of some extreme difficulty on an individual or a family. Now, to gauge Aga Khan's performance as a destroyer of difficulties, all we need to do is to revisit the events of East Pakistan in 1971. And then that is not good enough. Go to Karachi in 2015 and go to Syria also in 2015, where people, Aga Khanis, are still living in fear on a daily basis. That's how much the Satado helps. Okay. Now, let's get inside the head of the Aga Khani believer. Let's get this. He never misses a Satado and he implores Aga Khan's mercy throughout his life. Then disasters happen. But magic, he cannot see that his prayers have failed. He cannot see that the Satado has failed. He cannot see Aga Khan has failed. He also cannot see that his pockets are a little bit lighter. He cannot see what is actually happening in real life. He cannot see there was no protection against murder, rape and displacement of the murids. Now, he is unable to see that. So what does he do? Does he question Aga Khan? Leave alone questioning the Lord. Even if he has a thought of questioning, he has been conditioned to believe he will go to hell after he dies. But before that, the rest of the believers will send him to hell. He will be ostracized. He will be looked down upon. He will be called names, and that is no less a hell than maybe the hell up in the sky. And this is what educated Ismailis do, progressive Ismailis do, and the murids of Aga Khan do as we speak. So, questioning is out of question. You can't question. You can't use your intellect. No matter how much Aga Khan talks about intellect and faith, let him talk. The fact of the matter is you cannot use your intellect, full stop. Now, coming back to the murid, he cannot see and he cannot question. So what does he do? You can't see, you become blind, you can't question. What do? You attend another Satado without fail. This concludes our discussion on various majalises. We will now backtrack a little bit and we will start the Jamaat Khana from the beginning. How does it look like from inside? Prayer hall, religious education school, council room, healthcare center, cash counting room, marriage hall, library, all of the above can be easily imagined, but the prayer hall is a little unique. Imagine a rectangular room where worshippers are congregated in rows facing the longer wall. Let's call it the front wall. Men on one side of the hall and women on the other side of the hall facing the main wall or the front wall. Facing the congregation are the officials with rectangular wooden tables called parts in front of them. Now, these officials include representatives of the Imam, Mukhi, Kamariya, who is Mukhi's assistant, members of the council, ex-leadership and people who lead the prayers. There is a podium bang in the middle of men and women's parts for addressing the congregation. And the back wall has a food auction platform and the money changing area. Two side walls display a large photo of Aga Khan, which many people go and kiss. When a murid first enters the Jamaat Khana, they say Jamaat ke hai zanda, meaning Imam is present in this Jamaat Khana, obviously on a spiritual level. And the people who are already present respond by saying Kayam Paya, meaning we have the Imam forever. Then the believer proceeds towards the Mukhi or his assistant Kamariya for Dua Karavi, which is a confession of sins ritual. If you are a female, obviously you'd go to the female equivalent of the Mukhi and the Kamariya. Here the believer hands some money to the Mukhi, fold their hands in submission, look into their eyes, that is Mukhi's eyes, and confess that they are sinners from top to toe. And the kind-hearted Mukhi prays that may Aga Khan forgive his sins. In my days as an Aga Khani, I always had a big issue with this particular ritual. Let's get it right. Myself, Salim Lalani, is not an angel at all. I stuff up from time to time. But I know for sure, I know 1000% that I am not a sinner from top to toe. So why does the system make me say what I am not? This question demands an elaborate revelation of stealth. Psychological techniques behind this ritual will make your mind boggle. It will be covered. This psychology and the mangling of the human brain and the mind is amazingly well crafted in an Ismaili system. It will need many episodes to cover this aspect of Aga Khani system. Okay, so we have gone to the Mukhi, we have basically had all our sins forgiven. Now the believer joins the congregation and the proceedings kick off with Ginans, which is the devotional songs, for about 30 minutes, during which people slowly congregate for the prayers. And we have discussed the shirk infested prayers called dua in earlier episode. Basically, Aga Khan is prayed three times a day, one after the sunrise, one before the sunset, and one after the sunset. Dua, like most rituals, is a mechanical affair. Many years ago, when I served in the religious portfolio, I found that most people in Jamaat Khana did not understand the meaning of the dua, leave alone the Quran. This includes the religious school teachers, leaders, and the scholars. Once a dua is offered, the congregation stands up for yet another prayer called Tasbih. Here they seek from Aga Khan forgiveness of sins again, good health, wealth, removal of difficulties, and the list goes on and on and on. On certain occasions, following rituals are also on offer. A platform apart basically has small cups of holy water. Next to the cups of holy water is a plate. The ritual involves the believer putting money in the plate and picking up the small cup of water, make some wishes and drink the holy water. Now, this water has become holy because it has been blessed by Aga Khan's touch. Believers cannot get enough of it. They drink it in Jamaat Khana, take it home, drink it before they start the day. I've seen people rubbing it on their arms and faces. Mehmani literally means hosting a guest. In Aga Khan terminology, it means to host the Imam. If Aga Khan should come to your home, what would you do? You'd cook the best foods and make sure he enjoys his time with you, right? Now, because it's not possible for the Aga Khan to become a physical guest of all his spiritual children, he has been so kind to accept money in lieu of having him over for dinner. Now, you can offer Mehmani out of gratitude, or if you want, you can offer a Mehmani for the resolution of your difficulties. Now, in my days, we used to put whatever we wanted to put in an envelope and give it to the official in the Jamaat Khana, and he used to bless us on behalf of Aga Khan. But since I left in 2014, I'm getting reports that a fixed price Mehmani can now be offered. A fixed price list is also available from your friendly official. This official compiles a list of Mehmani participants and send it to Aga Khan. I would like any insider to just confirm this report if this fixed price Mehmani is a real thing or not really. Now, Nandi is actually a corruption of the Arabic word called Nadi. Nad means a call, and Nadi is a person who makes that call. In Aga Khani terminology, Nandi means food auction or auction of either food or jewelry or whatever. Now, traditionally, whenever a believer attends a Jamaat Khana, he brings food for the Imam. This is also one type of Mehmani. It is deposited on a wooden platform called pat. In big jamaats, one can see a sea of food displayed on the pat. All this food is auctioned, and equal spiritual benefit is assigned to the bringer and the successful bidder. Proceeds from the auction goes to Aga Khan as religious revenue. I would like to talk about a couple of issues with this particular tradition. Firstly, I question, why does a spiritual child bring food for the spiritual father? Should it not be the other way around? Who brings food home, your father or your child? Some people argue with me that even the Prophet auctioned different things from donations, O Malik Anima. Yes, he did. But he needed funds to run the Islamic campaign. Not only that, he was transparent about the funds being used. Is that the case with Aga Khan? Yet another aspect of Nandi is not only food is brought for the Imam for auction, but jewelry, precious stones and other items are also auctioned. But my real issue about Nandi is the auction of the food itself. Actually, it's quite ugly. Let me explain. Apart from living in Australia, I have been lucky enough to live in India and in Pakistan, and I have seen poverty firsthand. Not only that, I have seen and still know some poor people, some poor Aga Khanis. Making ends meet is a struggle on a daily basis. And then there are filthy rich people, filthy rich Aga Khanis. Now, poor people sometimes come to Jamaat Khana in the hope that they will be able to buy food at a cheaper price than buying raw material from the market or buying food from the market. But the concept of auction in Jamaat Khana has turned into a battle to show everyone that I am richer than you. I know some people personally who will not put the finger down if the bidding balloons out of proportion. The display of ego, I'm pretty sure, is a very common phenomenon across the Jamaat Khanas around the world. This race to display wealth is watched by the congregation as if they are watching a game of cricket. But the poor man watches this game with horror in their eyes. Maybe they may have to go without food on that day. Now, why would Aga Khan auction the food? Why would he not tell his followers to donate the food to the needy? I think my viewer knows the answer. But wait, there is more. Before the food is auctioned, that is, Nandi happens, the food has already been auctioned. Confusing? Okay, let's go back. Every murid brought food from home and deposited on the path. Say 5,000 people brought the food. I'm talking about big Jamaat Khanas, and all that food is displayed on a massive path. Say there are 5,000 food items to be auctioned, which go at an inflated price. Now, during the Jamaat Khana routine, all this food, 5,000 different items of the food is auctioned, and it is given to the highest bidder. No, not the food is given to the highest bidder. The food will be auctioned again during Nandi. But the blessing of having brought 5,000 food items is given to the highest bidder. So the spiritual benefit has been auctioned. Then in the Nandi, the physical food will be auctioned. Double dipping. Now, do not underestimate this bidding. It can attract five figures in dollar terms in big Jamaat Khanas. I remember when I was in Karachi in 1994, in those days, I have seen the Awal Sufro going for 30,000 rupees. In those days, 30,000 rupees could buy a two-bedroom apartment for you. And that was the price somebody paid to get the spiritual benefit of having brought the massive amount of food that was brought to Jamaat Khana for the Imam. That is called Awal Sufro. Next week, we will discuss social aspect of the Jamaat Khana. Until then, take care and don't forget to respond to the proposed Urdu version of this series. Goodbye.